I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 118, and if you're using your pew Bible, you can find this on page 649. Again, this is Psalm 118. Hear now the word of God. So give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, let his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side. As my helper, I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. We give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. May the Lord bless the reading and also the preaching of his word. So as we've been going through the Psalms, and especially these Psalms of late, this is the final Psalm, is what is called the Egyptian Hallel. It is Psalms 113 through Psalm 118 were Psalms that were sung traditionally at the Passover. And so as we consider this Psalm tonight, as we've considered the Psalms immediately before it, let us keep in mind that these are the Psalms that the Lord Jesus sung the night that he was betrayed, as he observed the Passover with his disciples. And just to bring to your attention, or bring to your mind, or remind those who have been in this evening service before, and new to those of you who are here for the first time, but Psalms 113 and 114 were traditionally sung before the meal, and then Psalms 115 to 118 were sung after the meal. So when we read in the Gospels of them enjoying a meal and then going out and singing a hymn, these are the hymns that they were singing, and especially this psalm that we come to, in this Psalm 118. And it's a psalm that ends with a mighty cry of victory and a call to give thanks to our Lord for what he has done. Give thanks to the Lord for his work, his faithfulness, and the victory that he has won. Now, this would have been thinking back on the Exodus to Egypt, but it was also pointing to what Christ was fulfilling. in what we look back on and what he has fulfilled in that greater salvation. And as we looked at this morning about Jesus being the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, this psalm is the Anointed One recounting the victory that he has won. The Anointed One recounting the victory that he was embarking on and that he was accomplishing, even on that night that he was betrayed as he sung this psalm. Our Lord Jesus the Christ, singing this psalm, portraying the victory that he was accomplishing. And so as we think about this psalm tonight, the application that we can take home and that I want us to think upon and to take with us is to remember to give thanks, to live lives of thankfulness as we consider the victory that God has won through his anointed. And this victory bringing us into a relationship with our Lord, so that he is not just the creator of heaven and earth, he is not just God, but he is our God in that covenantal relationship. So give thanks, for the Lord is your God through the victory of his anointed. Now, as we look at this psalm, I'm going to divide it into two portions. Verses 1 to 21 in the first portion, and then verses 22 through 29. Now, in the opening verses of this psalm, in verses 1 to 4, this is a setting of, in the midst of the congregation. The first verse sets the tone, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And then, as we saw in Psalm 115, three groups called upon to give thanks, or to, in that case, to trust the Lord. Here, it's "let Israel say," and then the whole congregation was to say, "His steadfast love endures forever." And then someone would call out, "Let the house of Aaron say." And so the house of Aaron then would call out, "The steadfast love endures forever." And then those who fear the Lord say, and then those who were known as God-fearers, those from outside the natural order of the covenant community as far as being physically born, but those Gentile nations that were fearing the Lord would cry out in the midst of the congregation, "His steadfast love endures forever." After that opening, setting the stage and the tone for the rest of the psalm, one of the Lord's fulfilling of his promises, one of the Lord fulfilling his covenant that he made, one of his showing his steadfast love to his people, we have here a change in the voice. The voice is no longer of the throng, of the congregation, of the assembly. It is a single speaker. As we see in verses 5 to 21, that this single speaker begins to recount what he was going through and what he went through, what he accomplished. And it's in these verses we have here the picture of incredible trust in the midst of great affliction. The distress we see in verse 5 and then 10 through 13, how in the midst of my distress I called on the Lord in verse 5. And the Lord answered me and set me free. And then in verses 10 to 13, all the nations surrounded me. They surrounded me on every side. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. This is the distress that the speaker finds himself in. And as we consider that distress, and as we consider the Lord fulfilling this psalm, it is at the as he was marching then to being betrayed and then going to the cross, the nations surrounding him. This imagery here of being surrounded like bees, or they went out like fire among thorns. These thorns would have been something that would have, fire would have spread very quickly and rapidly. It would have been something that sparked and then the fire just blazed and went through. But as quickly as it arose, it was gone. Now, it may have been hot, it may have been a great distress, but in the context of these verses, it was something that was quick, that was then passed by, and the Lord delivered out of it, out of the midst of that distress. And the voice that we hear in this is one of, in the midst of that distress, in the midst of that affliction, is trust. Verses 8 and 9, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." This victory that we have here also in these verses, as I said, this was sung at the Passover, and it was thinking about and looking back at the Exodus and the victory that the Lord won there. Verse 14, is a quote from what we call the Song of Moses that was sung after the Exodus, after the Lord delivered his people. And we see then not only this voice of looking back at the victory that the Lord won in the Exodus, but also the voice of our Lord as he was accomplishing his work. In verses 17 and 18, I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Tonight, in our call to worship, we read from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 25. And in those verses, we read about how the Lord Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. The Lord Jesus, as we also talked about in the Sunday School Hour, became sin for us, so that we would become the righteousness of God. Our Lord Jesus is the one who can rightly sing this: the Lord has disciplined me severely. He has disciplined his Christ severely, not for any sin that he has done, but for our sins. But he did not give him over to death. Yes, our Lord Jesus died and was laid in the tomb, but he was not given over to the power of death. He rose victorious. And this again, as I mentioned this morning, also mentioned now, Psalm 16, verse 10. The fact that the Holy One of God, his anointed, was not allowed to see decay. And the victory is further pronounced as we see in verses 19 to 20. That open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, the righteous shall enter through it. This is similar to the language that we find in the closing verses of Psalm 24. And as we sang Psalm 24 this morning, as we celebrated the Lord's Supper, the picture there in those closing verses, as the gates of old, those ancient doors, are called to open wide as a great King of glory enters in, the picture of that psalm is one of a victorious king who has gone out to war and has accomplished a great battle, has won the victory, and is now coming back. And that king that is victorious, that is marching back into his home, the gates are thrust open wide, and there is a celebration and joyous shouts of victory throughout his kingdom. And Psalm 24 gives us that picture of the King of glory, the Lord of glory, coming back to heaven. Jesus Christ ascending on high, and those ancient doors open wide, and all heaven rejoicing in the return of the victorious King over his enemies. This Psalm 118 also gives us this picture. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. Now, as I said, the speaker of these verses, it's a singular speaker. And the speaker is of the Lord's anointed, the one that has accomplished this victory, the one who, although in the midst of great distress and great affliction, trusted in the Lord. And he accomplished the task set before him. He did valiantly, as the tents of righteousness shout. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Although the speaker here is the Lord's anointed, we also see here that his victory is our victory. You know, as the king would enter into his gates victorious, he wouldn't come alone. He'd be coming with his hosts with him. We are his people. And although the anointed one has won the victory, he has won the victory for us. And we see this in verse 15. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. And then what that song looks like, as I just mentioned, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. This victory that we share in the victory of the anointed, this is what we are to do here as we consider what Jesus has done for us, of what the Messiah has done for us, of what the Christ has done for us, and the valiant victory that he has won. Let us have songs of salvation, of glad, joyous salvation come from the midst of our tents, as this psalm pictures here. These are songs of victory. These are songs of conquering their enemies. As in the verses preceding here, the language of the nations being surrounded or surrounding this anointed one, then being cut off. It's an image of complete victory over one's adversaries. The victory that the anointed has won is complete and it is total. And we are the ones who share in that victory. And this is why we are called to give thanks. This work of Jesus, this work of the anointed one, was according to the plan of God, the covenant promises that he had made, his steadfast love made manifest, his mercy, his grace shown to us. So as we think about this victory that the Lord has won, let us give thanks for what the anointed one has done. And that brings us to the final verses of this psalm. Give thanks, for the Lord is your God. In verses 22 to 29, the voice again changes. The psalm begins in the first four verses with the congregation proclaiming the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. Then we have that single speaker of the Lord's anointed recounting what he went through and what he accomplished. And now in verse 22, we have a change again of the voice. It's the people recounting and proclaiming the glory of the anointed one. He is a stone that the builders rejected, but yet has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That opening verse, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, again, is picked up by the New Testament authors as pointing to and being fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the stone that was rejected, the cornerstone. He was also as he came into Jerusalem, what we call his triumphal entry. These verses in verses 26 and following were proclaimed in praise to him by the throng, by the people, as they laid down palm branches. They cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." That is what verse 26 says here. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." And then also, as we read, "The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us." We read in the Gospels how Jesus Christ fulfilled the promise of a great light coming upon those who dwelt in darkness. But he is also the very sacrifice. Bind this festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. Now, if you remember, this was sung at the Passover. And there was the Passover lamb that was sacrificed. And it was a reminder of the Lord saving his people and delivering them from the bonds of slavery to Egypt. But that Passover lamb pointed us to the Passover lamb that God would provide. The one whose sacrifice through his blood the Lord would atone. He would pass over our sins, forgiving them in Christ. Can you imagine our Lord Jesus Christ singing this psalm on the night that he was betrayed? Singing, "Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar." He would not be bound to the horns of the altar, but he would be nailed to the cross. He was the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God, who shed his blood for our sins. These verses speak of our Lord. He was the cornerstone. He was the one who came in the name of the Lord. He is the one who brings us light and darkness. And he was the Lord's sacrifice. Now in the midst of that is a prayer of salvation. In verse 25, here we read, "Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success." Literally translated, it simply just, "Save, O Lord, please. O Lord, please. give success. Give prosperity. It's a simple prayer. In the midst of rejoicing in what the Anointed One has done, that we are to pray and to call out to God, looking to this Anointed One for salvation. And as the psalm closes, and again, it's one person speaking, "You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you." But in that singular voice, we shouldn't limit it simply to the Anointed One. He is speaking, our King is speaking on behalf of all of his people. And so as he speaks, "I will give thanks to you," we speak in him. He is our God, and we will give thanks to him. He is our God, we will extol him. And the call once again to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his steadfast love endures forever. Brothers and sisters, these closing verses show us and remind us of the relationship that we have with our God. Again, he is not just simply the creator of heaven and earth. He has condescended to know us, to call us. He has brought us to himself as his people. One of the things that's really quite striking when we consider the fall of mankind in the garden, as Adam and Eve were being tempted. You know, as that conversation unfolds between the serpent and Adam and Eve, because Adam was there, although Eve is only mentioned, he was right there beside her. As they speak, as Eve speaks, God is just simply mentioned just in the basic name for God as far as creator. There's not that covenantal name that we saw earlier as God interacted with Adam and Eve. That relationship that it is important. He is not just God. He is our God. And we are not just some people. He is our people. And this relationship was accomplished through the work of his anointed. As he willingly laid down his life as a sacrifice, as the propitiation, as the one who would satisfy the wrath of his Father due to us. On the night our Lord was betrayed, as he went out to the garden, he sang this song. The sacrifice being led as a lamb to the slaughter. To bring us into a right relationship with our God. This is why we are called to give thanks. As God fulfilled his word, he fulfilled his promises. And so, brothers and sisters, let us give thanks. For the Lord is our God, to the faithful work of his anointed one. Amen. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the promises that you have made and your fulfilling of those promises in our Lord Christ. Father, we give you thanks for all that you have accomplished through your anointed one. May we, Lord, not forget what has been done. As far as the laying down of the sacrifice of your Son, so that we would be called children of the Most High God. We thank you, Lord, for the victory that our Lord has won. And may we, Lord, walk in thankfulness in that victory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.